This is the KOTO Community Radio News for Wednesday, March 10th. I'm Julia Caulfield. In today's headlines, state amends level yellow on the COVID dial. Telluride finalizes plans for summer business. San Miguel County recaps a year of COVID expenses. And a mountain weather forecast. But first, we all have budget numbers in our head. The monthly Netflix bill, cable TV, your cell phone, even what you might have spent on beer and food at any of the festivals last year. Create your KOTO budget now and invest in this essential service. Make your donation by calling 970-728-4333 or go to koto.org. And thank you. San Miguel County recently moved into a less restrictive level on the state's COVID dial. And just days later, Colorado amended the dial to make that yellow even less restricted.
Through this update, the last call for restaurants shifted to 1 a.m. And then indoor caps for events increased for both level yellow and blue. With the caveat that you still need to have at least 6 feet between each party.
That's San Miguel County Public Health Director Grace Franklin. At the same time, San Miguel sits in a less restrictive level. Case numbers in the county also remain low, and vaccine rollout continues. So far, roughly 15% of the adult population in San Miguel County has been fully vaccinated. Franklin notes the data doesn't include residents who get their vaccine out of county.
The other key piece here is that this also includes those employment eligibility-based people. So maybe, let's say, a grocery store worker that lives in Montrose that got vaccinated up here, that's getting wrapped into this piece. So it's not a complete or completely accurate number, but it slightly weighs each other out.
Franklin notes public health will update the COVID dashboard to include information from residents getting vaccinated out of county once they get reliable data from the state. A limited supply of vaccine doses from the state has been a limiting factor on the vaccine rollout locally. But Franklin says between public health and the two medical centers in the county, they're moving efficiently through the population.
This last Saturday, we provided 312 vaccines to people in phase 1B3. We had a huge focus on equity. Over that specific clinic, we had staff available to provide Spanish services so people can receive the information in the language that is primary to them. We did walk-ups for our Spanish-speaking community, knowing that there is some barriers to accessing all of these forms. And we anticipated only 50 people and wound up having 85 walk-up Spanish-speaking people who hit the eligibility bucket. So that was really awesome to see.
And the more people get vaccinated, the more life can go back to normal. This week, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention released guidance stating that fully vaccinated people are not required to quarantine after a COVID exposure, as long as they don't show symptoms. And small groups of fully vaccinated people are not required to wear masks or socially distance from each other or while spending time with an unvaccinated person who is at low risk. Of course, at the same time, Franklin reiterates the importance to practice the five commitments, especially as we head into the final weeks of the ski season.
As things have been improving, policies may shift, right? But end of the day, each individual person needs to implement the five commitments to the best of their ability. We know that this works and it works well. And so really it is, how do we hold out for these next few weeks without shifting our behaviors, because it will impact our community.
That means wearing a mask, limiting group size, washing hands frequently, maintaining distance, and staying home and getting tested if sick. There won't be blocked-off communal dining along the north side of Main Street this summer. But prepare to see more parklets dotting streets throughout town. During a town council meeting on Tuesday, council finalized plans for businesses and restaurants throughout town this summer. From the start, council unanimously showed support for keeping traffic on Colorado Avenue two-way, with a center lane open for delivery drop-offs and sidewalks kept open for pedestrian traffic. But in order to help businesses expand dining and retail due to capacity limits as a result of COVID, town council passed a resolution allowing for parklets along both sides of Main Street and for off Main Street businesses. Parklets were used last summer as small dining areas in front of a restaurant, jutting into on-street parking along Main Street. While parklets will be owned, managed, and reserved for specific restaurants, several members of council also suggested staff working to find other places throughout town for tables to serve as communal dining. It's a suggestion Megan Osala, president of the Telluride Mountain Village Restaurant and Bar Association and owner of the Butcher and Baker, supports.
I love the idea of finding every wide sidewalk that has enough space for tables. I think that what we'll discover is there's lots of restaurants that won't have enough seating. If we could maximize tables in pocket parks so that there is more table space and that there are more places where people feel comfortable picnicking or taking food from different restaurants and sitting.
Council didn't specify where more tables could go, but directed staff to add more tables if there is a proper location. On the whole, council was on the same page for allowing restaurants to build parklets this summer, but more discussion came about when retail businesses were brought into the mix. Here's council member Geneva Shawnette.
I just want to remind us that we had an IGA meeting where we discussed not only supporting restaurants, but also all other businesses. So I think it would be unfair to not offer something.
Currently, businesses are allowed to have merchandise racks outside their storefront as long as it doesn't extend more than 2 feet from the building. But as a retailer on the south side of Main Street, Pepper Raper, owner of the Peporium, says she'd like to utilize a parklet.
As a retailer, I would be interested in using a parklet, especially since I'm down here on the south side, which is the dark side. Since we are a more narrow sidewalk, we can't put things outside like a clothing sale rack or something like that. So a parklet would be helpful for me.
In the end, council agreed to allow retailers to use parklets or have racks on the sidewalk outside their business, not both. A retail establishment must choose one or the other for the summer season. With agreement on what dining and retail could look like this summer, public comment also brought up when the parklets could be used. The town has the season of parklets running from mid-May through the end of October. Neil Elinoff, owner of Alpinist and the Goat, requested the season to be extended.
Last year, those falls are getting warmer longer. And as soon as we took out that parklet for the goat, the business evaporated. And I was wondering if we couldn't just extend it this year until the 30th of November.
But Paul Rood, Public Works Director for Telluride, has safety concerns.
If we get some ice on the street, can we keep vehicles out of the parklets, which is one of our great concerns? And so, yes, if it was a perfectly nice, warm day, maybe we could pull it off, but there's times when it's not, and there's definitely times in November when there's ice on the south side of Main Street. So that's part of the reason why we went for the end of October.
To help with safety, council also plans to lower the speed limit along Main Street to 7 miles per hour for the summer. And of course, dining and retail aren't the only issues that Telluride and the region still need to address for this summer. Council plans to discuss rules and restrictions regarding to-go alcohol at its meeting later this month. Council members also hope to bring the issue of parking and crowd dispersal to an intergovernmental meeting later this spring. Businesses will be eligible to begin construction on parklets at the beginning of May. They will be able to seat patrons in those parklets from May 15th to October 30th. Many businesses and organizations saw unexpected costs come in when COVID hit. There was hand sanitizer, plexiglass between customers, air ventilation systems. Local governments are no different. On the county level, San Miguel had costs related to testing, vaccinations, contact tracing. At a Board of County Commissioners meeting on Wednesday, San Miguel County Manager Mike Bordogna and Finance Director Ramona Rummel gave an update on where the county stands financially, specifically as it relates to COVID. According to Bordogna, in 2020, both COVID grant funding and county expenses totaled just over $3.8 million each.
The delta of those two amounts for 2020 left us, luckily, only having to expend just over $15,000 of additional general fund money related to the county's COVID response, which is an amazing position.
He points to reduced overall budgets and limiting travel for trainings as a way the county cut costs.
That has helped us to stay in a pretty good financial position.
Bordogna adds, so far in 2021, the balance between funding and expenditures has gone even more in the county's favor. Based on Rummel's calculations, the county spends just under $60,000 a month on COVID expenses. This year, the county has already received over $500,000 in grant funding. After the months of January and February, the county still has over $480,000 left in grant funds.
So given that amount, we know that $480,000 should last us a significant amount of months unless something changes. And I think we've all grown accustomed to the fact that things change on a fairly rapid basis and that we cannot rely that we'll continue in that same level of $50,000 to $60,000 per month in expenditures through the remainder of the year. But as of right now, we're sitting in a good cash position as it relates to the grants that we've received versus the funding expended related to COVID.
Rummel notes keeping and discussing a detailed financial summary will help the county moving forward.
Through the 2020 response, it was easy to get caught up in your day-to-day stuff and really you had an idea where we're at, but it really wasn't concise and put on paper. So I do think it will help us for our planning.
San Miguel County Public Health Director Grace Franklin adds a detailed summary will also help focus COVID response.
Knowing how much things change and our priorities have shifted with our disease control being more manageable, I'm anticipating some of these expenditures to flip-flop. But looking at it on this monthly basis will help us really have a targeted approach for the main spending buckets for this response.
For County Commissioner Lance Waring, it also paints a better picture for where the county has been and where it's going.
It's been feeling like we've been hemorrhaging money, and now it's nice to know where we actually sit.
San Miguel County plans to evaluate COVID funding and expenditures on a monthly basis going forward. Towns don't just happen. They are envisioned, planned, and executed. In 2011, Mountain Village created its own comprehensive plan, or comp plan, to serve as a guiding roadmap for the next 30 years. According to Mountain Village, at the time, the goal was to, quote, encourage future development while controlling growth within reasonable boundaries. But just a decade after the comp plan's adoption, Mountain Village is looking to amend it to make the plan more flexible to the town's wants and needs going forward. Mountain Village is working with a national firm, MIG, to update the plan, and it's looking for feedback from the public. The town has developed a survey to get comment from residents of Mountain Village, the region, second homeowners, business owners, and visitors to the area. To provide input, go to townofmountainvillage.com/comp-plan. There will also be two public meetings to provide input and feedback at Mountain Village's town council meeting on March 18th and a design review board meeting on March 25th. Gerald Jerry Gilhool Jr., a band tour manager and former Telluride resident, passed away over the weekend after a surfing accident at Rincon Point in California. He was 51 years old. According to officials, Gilhool was taken to a hospital by ambulance, where he was later pronounced dead. Authorities have not yet confirmed the cause of death. Reporting from the Ventura County Star notes Gilhool was surfing when he collided with another rider. The other surfer sustained minor injuries and drove himself to the hospital. The Colorado House has passed a bill that aims to prevent accidental shootings and suicides by creating new storage requirements for gun owners. The effort to penalize residents who allow children or teenagers to get a hold of guns is one of the most controversial items voted on so far this year. During a 10-hour debate on Monday, Republicans argued the bill is unconstitutional and unenforceable. They say requiring guns to be locked up at home will make it difficult for self-defense. Supporters see things differently. A mother of a child who survived the 2019 shooting at STEM school Highlands Ranch says safe storage laws can help prevent school shootings. The bill will also force gun dealers to include locking devices on all firearms sold. It is heading to the Senate for debate. Colorado lawmakers are unveiling more protocols they say will help residents recover from the economic devastation caused by the pandemic. KOTO's Scott Franz has more.
The bipartisan recovery plan includes roughly $700 million, with a quarter of the money going toward infrastructure projects like repairs to the Eisenhower-Johnson tunnels. There's more tax relief for restaurants and other small businesses, and money to help communities losing coal jobs. Governor Jared Polis says the state can afford it because lawmakers ended up cutting more than they needed to from last year's budget. But the latest stimulus plan announced is smaller than the $1.3 billion package Polis requested in November. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
The National Weather Service forecast for the Western San Juans calls for scattered snow showers tonight with a low around 15 degrees. Thursday, snow showers are likely with cloudy skies and a high near freezing. Winds could gust as high as 30 miles per hour. Thursday night, there is a 50% chance of snow showers with mostly cloudy skies and a low around 15. Friday, snow showers are likely, possibly mixed with rain, with a high in the mid-30s during the day. Friday night calls for snow showers with mostly cloudy skies and a low around 15. This has been the news for Wednesday, March 10th. Thanks for listening. If you have a story idea or a news tip, call the news team at 728-3206. We would like to thank everyone who has donated to CODO during our Winter Fund Drive. A huge thank you to Don and Jane Perman, Robert Wheatcroft, Rick Folly, Delaney Young, Patrick and Carly Latram, Gary Rodriguez, Ashley Abdo, Amy Oliver, Luke Dow, Steve Gumbel, Suzanne Chevins and John Wontrobsky, Rick Down, Lisa Cox, Sasha and Colin Sullivan, Jared and Pam Kavnis, Chris Harden, Steven Steinberg, Fletcher Otwell, Debbie Adams, Ken Bailey, Rosie Cusack, Sarah and Morgan Lavender Smith, Chris Wilson, Carol and Randy Reese, Ruby McCarg, Jamie and Christina Catchpole, Elizabeth Sajin, Robert Mattson, and Roscoe Kane. Thank you all so much. And now, a personal commentary.
Hi, Amy. It's Sarah. I'm calling from school. How are you?
Oh, good. How are you doing, Sarah? You've got our seniors for the week.
Oh, nice. I do. So I'm calling in to do the senior spotlights. This is where spotlight four different kids Monday at 4 o'clock with a collaboration from the teachers to honor the class of 2021.
Fantastic. Lay it on us, Sarah.
Okay. First off, we have Claire Aguilar. Claire is a student who's been 100% remote this entire year, and she has excelled. She enjoys a good lecture in school, and she's a strong advocate for opinions she values. She always acts on those beliefs, and one of her main interests is veterinary science. She has an infectious sense of humor and is an avid reader. She used the quarantine to read through more than 40 books. She is fully dedicated to academics, listening to photography, bettering our environment, and inspiring us to do the same. Given her enthusiasm for learning, her open-mindedness, we will miss Claire tremendously. Next up is Nate Ives. Nate is a strong student who contributes much to both the classroom and the life of our school. He has embraced the opportunities presented to him in his high school coursework, challenging himself with a number of advanced placement courses. But it's what Nate achieves outside the classroom that impresses me the most. He is forever taking apart and reassembling laser printers, electric skateboard, his family car, multiple drones, all in an effort to figure out not just how things work, but how he can make them work better. In addition, Nate is an accomplished photographer. He's also spent a great deal of his high school career getting up to speed on all aspects of video production, and that has served as a real benefit to our school. He is my go-to guy whenever I need film work done, and I'm calling him tonight on something we're going to be working on. Miley Silva. Miley is adventurous. After negotiating a tricky ice climb, she slept atop Mount Wilson. She's rappelled into many of the narrow slot canyons in Utah, and she completed her open water dive certification at the age of 11 and passed her hunter safety course at the age of 12. In short, Miley is a genuine Telluride mountain girl. Her junior year, she did abroad, living and studying in the Czech Republic. She is someone who genuinely values education, impresses all of her teachers with her work ethic, and has challenged herself with a rigorous curriculum. On top of it all, she's a three-sport athlete, cross-country, basketball, and track. And last but not least is Sebastian Ramos-Lucas. Sebastian is a beginning English language learner who joined us from Guatemala. He works very diligently to complete his coursework despite how much more time it takes to do so in his non-native language. In addition, he works many hours a week outside of school at the village table up in Mountain Village. He is able to balance his many work hours with his schoolwork. He is such a joy to have in class because he really wants to make everyone smile. Often he will say something funny to make his teachers or classmates laugh. He's kind to others and has a gentle personality, and a smile can light up the room as well as his voice when he sings Despacito. And that's our seniors for tonight.
Oh, Claire, Nate, Miley, and Sebastian, they're heading towards the finish line. Thank you, Sarah. Keep us posted.
Thanks, Amy.
Right on, sister.
Opinions broadcast over KOTO are those of the speakers. You are also invited to express your views after the news or on Access each weekday at around 4 p.m. If you would like to comment, please contact a staff person here at KOTO. We encourage you to speak out on important public issues.